Good evening. So good to see everybody out tonight for our Sunday night service. And we have visitors among us, and we are greatly appreciate your presence, and we welcome you back at any and every opportunity that you have to be with, to be here with us at O'Neill. Guy mentioned this morning of he had to make a confession, and I might as well go ahead and make my confession too, because if you looked in the bulletin, you saw that I also put Molly Stewart and not Molly Wilson. And so I said, I told Guy, you're rubbing off on me. We'll again apologize for that, and I have to be more careful myself. Also, Heath Patterson, the reason that he's not here, one of his little girl Lily, she's sick today, and that explains his absence today. If someone was on his or her deathbed and they were giving you their final words, would you pay attention? If someone wrote down his or her last wishes in a will, would you take time to read it? Would you read all of it? Would you try to make sure that all those things that were in there, those things were carried out? In Matthew chapter 28, we have Jesus as he's here. He's basically his final commands that he is giving to his apostles. And he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, you go therefore and you teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And he tells them, he continues on, he says, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Here we have Jesus giving his message, telling them what to do. But as he's telling them those things, and as we are reading those things, and do we actually do those things? Do we go out and teach? Do we go out and baptize? Do we go out and teach people to observe all the things that Christ commanded? That's something that we all have to ask, and that's something we all have to think about in ourselves. And as I think about that, I start thinking about the different kinds of sins that are mentioned in the Bible. I start thinking about the sins of commission, the sins of omission, and what's the difference between those? Thinking about the sin of commission and is to know something is wrong, but to do it anyway. Thinking about those different kinds of sins that we find, and this is just a short list of things, and we think about things that are the wrong teaching. Somebody's teaching the wrong types of things. We have Jesus constantly talking to the scribes and the Pharisees and calling them hypocrites because they weren't teaching what they were supposed to teach. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do. You have those in Romans chapter 12 who their love was with hypocrisy. They had insincere love toward one another. They were individuals who were not, they were abhorring. He told them to abhor that which was evil. He told them, you cleave to what is good. And sometimes we don't do that, do we? Sometimes we do the very opposite. That we abhor the good things. We cleave to those things that are bad. Sometimes we cause others to sin in Mark chapter 9. And sometimes there are individuals that commit fornication, and we know that's wrong in Romans chapter 1. We have individuals who take the marriage for granted, take the vows that they make before each other and before God, and they commit adultery with others. You have individuals who practice homosexuality. We know that God talks about that, and He talks against that in His Word, talking about in Romans chapter 1, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You have those that blasphemed. You had those who, in Galatians chapter 5, 19 and 20, a whole list of things that individuals commit. One of those things in their selfish ambition, things that they were fits of rage at time in chapter 5, idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variance, emulations, it goes on and on and on of things that they commit. Drunkenness, hypocrisy, those that would be deceitful and lie, those that would envy, those that would murder, those that were greedy and would have greed, those that go out and gossip. You have those types of sins that are in the Bible. Kind of like in Matthew chapter 9. When we look at Matthew chapter 9 Matthew chapter 19, and we see here that one comes before Jesus and he says, "Good master." He says, "What good thing shall I do? What good thing should I do that I can inherit eternal life?" He's wanting to know, what can I do to get eternal life? And so Jesus tells him, he responds to him, he says, "Well, why are you calling me good? There's only one that's good, and that's God." He goes on and he says, "But if you will enter into life," what does he tell him to do? He says, "You keep the commandments. You do those things that I've commanded you to do." Well, so he's kind of curious, and he goes, "Well, which one? What do you want me to do, Lord? Which one is it?" And so he goes through and he says, "Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself." Could you imagine the young man? He's feeling probably kind of good about himself. Because he's like, all these things I've done from my youth up. What do I lack? What am I missing? I've done those things. It's kind of like he had a little checklist that he needed to go over, and here I've checked them off. Yes, I've not committed those things. I'm good. What do I need? Jesus tells him, "Well, if you'll be perfect," he says, "you go, you sell all that you have, you give it to the poor, then you're going to have treasure in heaven. You come and you follow me." You get rid of the things that you're loving there on the earth, because he was a rich man. He had many possessions. Christ knew that. He wanted him, "You get rid of those things. You follow after me. I'm the one that you should be following after." It says when the man heard this, what did he do? He went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. You see the sin of omission. That's the sin that with the failure to do what we can do, and to do what we must do. In James chapter 4, verse 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." If we know there's something that we need to do and we don't do it, it's sin. When we think about omission, and we know that omission is that failure to perform an act that's been agreed to, the failure to, that oversight, whether it's a deliberate oversight or whether it's an unconscious oversight, it's that oversight of that duty that we have to God, that duty that we have to individuals, that duty that we have to groups to act upon something, to do something. Sin of omission, sometimes called the sin of the knowledge without practice. A knowledge without practice. We know it, yet we omit to practice it. We omit to do it. We fail to practice what we know we should be doing in the service to the Lord. Am I guilty of that? If you made a list of the things that you do and the things that you don't do, which is the bigger list? Was it those things that you had committed or those things that you had omitted in our service to God? As Paul, and I know this, he's talking about things that, talking about the flesh and different things, but here he is, like, as he's saying, "For that which I do, I allow not, and for what I would, that I do not, and what I hate, I do." And he has that struggle that's going on there, but taking that verse and also kind of thinking outside just a little bit, what about things that we know to do? Those lists of things, I could say, "I haven't committed adultery. I haven't done those things." But what about what have I omitted? Those are those things, that, a lot of times, things that bog me down as a Christian. It's not the things necessarily that I do. It's those things and the list of things that I don't do that I worry about. Do you find that as a struggle as well? When we look in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, do we find that we have failed in loving others? That when it says to let your love be without simulation, have we omitted that? Well, I haven't done that. Have we failed in hating evil? Have I omitted to hating evil and things that stand? Am I abstaining from all appearances of evil? Am I not doing that? Have I omitted that in my life? Have I omitted to cleaving to that which is good, holding on to those good things in this life? Those good things, holding on to this word right here and everything that it says. Have I failed in my service there? Have I failed? Have I omitted to being kind to others? It's easy to be kind to those who are kind to you. What about when someone's not kind to you? Do we omit that in our lives? Do we fail to be kind to others who are not so kind to us? What about how we serve God? Here we are. Let's sing a few songs. Let them do the Lord's Supper for the ones that didn't make it. Let's listen to the preacher. Let's sing a few more songs, and then we're out of here. How are we here when we're serving Him? Are we glad to be here? Are we omitting that part of our lives? You know, sometimes we get the, you know, Church of Christ, you're the ones that you're going to sit straight, no smiling. But that's not how it should be. We're serving our God, and He is someone who is alive and someone who we should be serving enthusiastically. Have we omitted that from our life? Have we omitted that from our worship? Do we rejoice in hope? Are we patient with others? Have we omitted that? Do we fail to be patient with others? Better believe I want someone patient with me. But do I want to be patient with others? Do I omit my prayer? Do I omit praying to others, as it says here in Romans chapter 12? Do I omit prayer from my life? Do I omit? Am I constantly in prayer, as it says? Continuing instant in prayer? Have I failed to distribute to, you know, it talks about the necessity of the saints given to hospitality. Have I failed to love others like I should? Have I failed in practicing hospitality? Have I failed in blessing others when I could? Have I omitted rejoicing with others when they're rejoicing? Have I failed in weeping with others when they weep? And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we've had a lot of people who's been weeping lately. We've had a lot of sickness. We've had a lot of deaths going on that have someone in this congregation has been touched with it. Have we done those things, done things that we could to help our brothers and sisters? What about living in harmony with others? Have we omitted that? Have we omitted being in harmony with our brothers and sisters? What about being of the same mind, same judgment, same thoughts? Do we have the same mind as of Christ? Have we failed in being humble? Sometimes we put ourselves upon a pedestal. Maybe sometimes we think of ourselves as being better than someone else. Have we failed at times in our life? Have we omitted honesty at times in our life? Omitted living peaceably? Have we omitted overcoming evil? When we continue and we go on and on about things that we omit in our lives, the things that we omit that we are commanded to do, but yet we omit them. Loving our neighbor loving the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. Have I done that? Or has that been something that I have omitted in my life? Is it something that I omit in my life? Am I like the priest? Am I like the Levite? Here we have this man who has been beaten and robbed and just stripped of his clothing. He's laying there, and what does the priest do? He sees him. He just goes on by. The Levite, he sees him. He actually comes and what did it say there? It says, the Levite, he came to the place. He came. He looked on him. I can imagine he's there. He sees him. It's almost like he pauses and just looks down at him and looks at him. He has to know that he's still alive, but keeps on going. Have we seen when others needed help and we have omitted from helping them? Have we omitted searching the Scriptures? John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them we have what? We have eternal life. Is there times in my life when I put other things before sitting down and studying the Word? Are there times when I don't study to show myself approved? I omit that out of my day. I omit that out of my week. I omit that. When does it stop? What about training up our children in the way they should go? Do we just decide, you know, they can learn it at school? I saw where someone posted on Facebook. It was a an article about I'm raising my child without religion, and don't worry, they're not going to be a bad person. I'm raising my child without religion. Don't worry, they're not going to be a bad person. They even put on there, someone is talking to them about putting their child. He says, we aren't against raising the baby religiously, but we're going to wait. We are going to let our child make up his or her own mind about spirituality and about religion. That's scary, folks. People are omitting training up their child in the way they should go. People and when Paul's talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, when he's telling him, you continue in the things that you've learned and that you've been assured of, knowing of whom that you have learned. He's telling Timothy, you continue in those things that you learned. Well, who did he learn them from? From his mama and from his grandmama, Lois and Eunice. From a child, they taught him the Scriptures. And that's our job as well, to train up our children in the way that they should go. Sometimes, as Christians, do we fail in holding fast to what is good? Do we abstain from every form of evil? When we could be here, and we're not. Because when we're here, you edify others. You're building each other up. But if you're omitting attendance, if you're omitting not being here, you are omitting a chance that you have to build someone up. When you're not here and when you're not studying, you're failing to grow as a Christian. In Hebrews 5, verse 12, for when there was a time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. When you omit study, when you omit coming together with other Christians, when you omit going even to church class and discussing the Bible, discussing the Scriptures, you're going to omit growing as a Christian. You're not going to be desiring that sincere milk of the Word. As newborn babes enjoy that milk, as Hunter has some pigs and they just recently had babies, and I promise, I was watching one of them, as soon as it was born, it was trying to nurse. Immediately, that little pig was trying to get some milk. Is that how eager we are to learn the Word of God? Immediately, every day of our lives, striving for that, or do we omit it? Do we put it back to others? Going back to that original verse that I started with, Jesus said, you go, you teach, you baptize. Don't think about what anyone else has done, what anybody else hasn't done. Matt's thinking about Matt, and I want you to think about you. Have I gone? Am I teaching? Have I ever taught? Am I trying to get someone to become a Christian? Am I trying to teach them to observe all things? Am I doing that? Because if we're not going, and if we're not teaching, and we're not baptizing, then the Great Commission has become the Great Omission. He told us to go, and if we omit that, that's the greatest omission of our lives. There was a research that was done, and I'm not sure how they come up with this statistic, but said 95% of Christians, 90 to 95% of Christians, have never led another person to Christ. I thought, whew, that is really high. I even told Leah about it, and she kind of argued with me a little bit earlier, so I just don't believe that. But let's just say that it's true. 95%. 292 people this morning, which means 277 people in this congregation would have never led anyone else to Christ, which means about 15 people have led someone to Christ. That's if that statistic were true, and that's if that was about it was talking about people here who had answered that survey. 95% of Christians have never led another person to Christ. I just found that, you know, kind of astounding. That's why that the song that Brother Tim sang, "You never mentioned him to me. When in the better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls will be if anyone lost one there which should cry in deep despair. You never mentioned him to me. Oh, let us spread the word wherever it may be heard. Help groping souls the light to see, that yonder none may say, you showed me not the way. You never mentioned him to me. A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side or turn sad eyes on Calvary. So work as days go by, that yonder none may cry, you never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day. You knew I was astray. You knew I was lost. Yet you never mentioned him to me." See, on that day of final judgment, when he starts separating the goats from the sheep, when he separates his to those who are not, when he says, those on the right, you enter in, those on the left, depart from me. Here we have, you have those that are saying that they are, you know, the ones that, who are the goats. And in Matthew chapter 25, it says that Jesus tells them on the left hand, he says, "You depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devils and his angels." And they're like, "What did I do?" Jesus said, "You omitted some things." He says, "I was hungry, you didn't give me any meat. I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was sick and I was in prison, but you didn't visit me." But if you don't do it to the least of these, you're not going to get the greatest of what God has to offer. He's going to tell those that omit things that He's commanded, that who have omitted the love that He wants us to share, He's going to say, "Go away into everlasting punishment." But to those who have it omitted, those who are doing His will, He's going to say to the righteous, "You enter into life everlasting." Jesus' commands requires action. When He said, "Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you," it requires doing. When He says, "It's more blessed to give than to receive," you have to give. When He says, "Go into the world and preach the gospel," it means to go. The most kept command of Jesus might be this, a preacher said one time. Luke chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ of God." And Jesus says, Jesus charges them. He says, commands them, "You don't tell no man that thing." That might be the most kept command an old preacher said. I hope that's not said about either one of us. I hope that we will be those individuals who go out and we preach and teach. Don't omit becoming a Christian. Don't omit that from your life. If you're not a Christian, you hear, you believe, you repent, you confess, you be baptized. You become that Christian. You live a faithful life. Don't omit that from your life. If you've sinned, don't omit making that confession, making your life right. See, because if our life isn't right, our name is going to be omitted from the book of life. Make those necessary changes tonight as we stand and as we sing.